Now, friends, you have over in the 15th verse, which is the last verse, there had come this delegation down from Babylon, and they had come with some crowns that they had made. And the message that was given at that time by the Lord was to make it very clear that all that they did when they crowned Joshua, he was the high priest, and it was symbolic, and it was looking forward to the time when the one who's called the branch, whose name is the branch. Now, may I say that the Word of God speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the branch in a fourfold way. For instance, you have over in Isaiah, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And so you have there the one that's presented as the branch of Jehovah. And then you find out that he's also called the branch of David. That's over in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, and a stem out of Jesse. And then you find also that he's spoken of as Jehovah's servant, the branch. And we've already seen that here in Zechariah in the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. And in that you have his humiliation and obedience unto death. And then in Zechariah, in this passage that we are looking at here, he's called the man whose name is the branch. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, you have him as the branch of David. He is in the line of David. In the Gospel of Mark, he is Jehovah's servant, the branch. And in the Gospel of Luke, he's the man whose name is the branch. And in the Gospel of John, he's the branch of Jehovah. And that is a marvelous and glorious picture of him, and the picture that we have here. It's the man whose name is the branch. He's the one that's going to rule and reign. He'll build a millennial temple, we're told here. He shall build the temple of the Lord. And he'll be a priest upon his throne. We emphasized that last time. And the crowns, verse 14, shall be to Helam, and so on. These crowns were to be a memorial. We're told that here, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they were put in the upper windows, and they were to remind the people that God would send the Messiah, and he would not only be the king, but he would be the priest. And now verse 15 says, and they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, and this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord. Now the message for these people, of course, is a message of encouragement. Zechariah encouraged them to build the temple. He and Haggai both was trying to overcome their discouragement and all of the hurdles that they had to get over. And now he encourages them to build. Why? Because this little segment that seems to them so small, it fits in to God's plan and program of the ages that will finally bring the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth as the Messiah, as the branch to rule. And so what you have here, I consider a tremendous, wonderful picture. And it reveals Christ in all of his glory, the second coming of Christ. And what they were doing was in the plan and program of God. And he would be a priest-king and would serve in the millennial temple. And in verse 15, he's saying to them this, the temple that you are building now is not an end in itself, It points on to the coming of the branch, of the Messiah, of the Christ, of the Redeemer. In other words, this is the hope that was given to them. Now, take a look at that little group building the temple. And they were going to get help from afar. But actually, as you look at it, it's not impressive. But when you see it in the plan and purpose of God and in the sweep of history, it points on to Christ. And may I now make this comment? Any Christian work that's an end in itself is doomed. It may be a cathedral on the boulevard that's named for some man. Or it may be a great building named for a man who's very generous. Or a college that exalts a man. I know of a Christian college that's got names of men on practically every building that's on the campus. The exalting man. And even a mission that just honors a man is doomed. And my friend, let's be very personal. A radio program that is for the profit of a man and for his exaltation. All of these are doomed. They're going to go down in ignominy and defeat. They must honor the branch, because God is moving to that day when he's going to reign. Moving to that day when he'll first take his own out of this earth, the church. And then he'll be coming to the earth to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. So that today, we can bring it right down to today, that little group of believers on a back street that's meeting in the name of Christ, seeking to honor him and studying his word, and they really want to do his will. And I think that, very frankly, they can truly sing to the glory of God, "Lord Jesus, I love you. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign." May I say to you, that little group that's unknown to the world, that's meeting out somewhere today on a back street or up in some rural community, is more important in the plan of God than anything that's happening in Washington or the capitals of the world today. And I know that that's hard for a great many people to believe. But that little group are in a plan and program that's going to join in a mighty chorus someday when they sung a new song, and it's in heaven. And they're going to sing it to the Lamb, and they say to him, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests. We shall reign on the earth." That's the goal toward which they're moving. And so that little group that the world is ignoring today, and the multitudes have passed them by, they are more important to the plan and purpose of God than any other group on this earth. May I say to you, this is a tremendous passage of Scripture, and what a message it has for us today. Now, that brings us to the conclusion of the first major division of Zechariah.